Hey everybody, welcome to the Culture Shock Podcast. My name is Stephen Adeboye, and yes, we're doing this live, and this is a secret location, so we can't talk about it. But I have my special guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I am Jessica. I am a certified life coach, working with kind of impact-driven professionals who struggle a little bit to connect with themselves. So we work a lot with reframing the way that they look at themselves, the relationship that they have with themselves, and therefore by default, the relationship they have with others, their career, you name it, we look at it.
Awesome. Yeah. How did you get started in that journey?
Oh, that's a big question.
I know.
So basically, I suppose when I was quite young, I was a visionary. I thought I wanted to change the world. I thought this would be quite easy. And I very much thought in order to do that, I had to work in the charity sector. So that's where I spent the beginning of my career, working in philanthropy, and very quickly became sort of disenchanted with the charity sector for numerous reasons. And I wanted to do something which was really focused on the individual, right, so that individuals could kind of be equipped to build momentum for themselves and kind of make change in their wider networks. Mm. So sort of like that scaling approach, which, you know, is relevant for any kind of business. And then I discovered coaching through a charity I used to work for, and it almost was like the penny just dropped one day,
right,
and I was like, this, it sounds a bit dramatic, I was like, this is what I was born to do. Mm. And I then just kind of went through the journey of gaining qualifications. You have to do an awful lot of coaching to be able to do that, which was great. And as COVID happened, I then just decided I needed to either go all in or I would never make a change. I'm quite risk averse. So I just thought, you know what, in order for this to really build impact, I just need to go all in. So I, took the plunge and earlier this year went full time with my coaching business, and I have not looked back. It has just been the best decision ever. And I would encourage everyone to take a few risks now and then.
Yeah. And I think this podcast is all about taking risks that benefit your purpose,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you knew, in essence, you wanted to make a change, a great change. You tried to do it for your organization, then said, actually, I can do it within myself. Yeah. And I think when you're talking about yourself as a person to sort of create that change, you have to kind of be introspective as well. Is that something that you had to sort of deal with?
Yeah, I think kind of one of the biggest things, and I know I'm not alone in this, it'd be interesting to see kind of what you think as well, but mm-hmm. I think when anyone has an idea, a spark, they think, I want to do something which kind of facilitates change, that's when all of the kind of imposter syndrome, inner critic, everything comes in and says, you cannot do this. Mm. Why you? You're nobody. Nobody's going to listen to you. Nobody's going to care about your idea. And that was kind of, for me, one of the hardest things to kind of overcome. And it sounds cliche, but it's that kind of whole learning to love yourself, learning to accept yourself, be aware of both kind of the things that you don't like, but also the things that you do love about yourself, and really using them to your advantage. And I think one of the key things I've learned is that the things that we think hold us back are actually, you know, have the potential to be some of our key kind of drivers and facilitators to help us do great things.
Yeah.
Is that something that you kind of struggle with at all in your business?
I can speak for myself early. Definitely. I think it's one of those things, especially when you are skilled or you do want to challenge yourself and do something new, you always have that resistance. And whether that comes from your inner child or just, you know, that adult brain that just says, hey, you know,
this isn't rational. Yeah, exactly. You're doing crazy.
So you do have, I think it's good to surround yourself with people who actually remind you that actually you're not so crazy. You are taking a chance because it's for you.
Yeah.
And then also they can also validate the things that you've done well. And it's always good to get feedback as well.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you might be overly like, yes, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And then it's like, actually, maybe take small steps instead of taking the big steps.
Yeah. And I do think that's one of the key things that I think is really important to focus on is who you surround yourself with.
100%.
And I kind of do this exercise a lot with my clients, which is just a very simple, like, rule of five. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone says, oh, you are the five people that you surround yourself with. And actually, so many people know it, but never actually take the time to realize what influence these people have.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there gets to a point you think, in order for me to succeed, it's not healthy or helpful to have these doubters, these naysayers kind of in your life. Mm-hmm. And I think one of those key things is when you're looking at kind of moving forward, taking big steps, sometimes you do have to leave people behind.
I know. It's
and
hard.
It's so hard. Yeah. It's so hard. Like, I love you so much, but it's just not working right now. And it is that kind of, it's me, not you, but it's me and I've grown.
Yeah.
And sadly, you don't fit into, it does sound so bad.
Yeah, it sounds like a breakup. We'll talk about relationships and breakups and stuff
Friendship
like that.
Breakups, I think that hurts harder. It's a real thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And it's weird because they see a perception of who you were previously.
Exactly.
And that image in their minds stays constant. And even though you try to change, you're almost like, I'm evolving as time goes on.
Yeah.
And so you're doing the same as well.
Yeah.
But it's finding that alignment.
Exactly. And I think it's interesting because we sort of ask people to give us the permission to change. Mm-hmm. But also what is important is that we also give other people the permission to change.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether they outgrow us and we get jealous and we say, oh, gosh, you've left me behind. Or whether actually they've gone in a completely different direction. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important that we all give each other permission to say, hey, you've changed. Mm-hmm. And actually we should see that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you're not the same person you were last year. We're not meant to be.
Exactly.
Life is meant to change. We're meant to evolve. Our circumstances do change. I think that's a quite tough learning curve is we outgrow people, but also we have to let people outgrow us, which, as we say, sometimes is sad.
It's sad. But I try and look at the optimistic side of things as well, because there's new people that can come in.
Yeah.
And it's not almost filling that void, because you shouldn't necessarily use that, but they kind of fill that gap where you're trying to get to the next step.
So, I do think that's a really important thing, looking at any area, whether that is, you know, in relationships, with your career, or even whether it's, you know, people who perhaps suffer from anxiety, depression, things like that, is there's often this exercise which psychologists use, which is very simply thinking about what that takes up in your brain, and very simply thinking, it's never going to go away, it'll always be there, but if it kind of they shrink in size, what then will you be able to allow into your brain?
Yeah.
And I think even when we're looking at like intrusive thoughts or negative thoughts, things like that, if they were just, you know, we can't say I'm never going to have an intrusive thought ever again in my life, but it's about saying if that's not the dominant voice, what can the dominant voice be and how much more room can I have to have, you know, kind words to myself or celebrations with myself. And it's really just about making the other things smaller and allowing ourselves to kind of grow into or manifest in, the good things in life.
Oh,
the good kind of narratives in our mind as well.
Yeah. Just hearing that, the key word I keep thinking is self-love and how you really should be kind to yourself. And almost in a way, give yourself a break, because sometimes you don't necessarily, I mean, you see yourself as who you are and you say, I'm happy, but I want the next thing, right? Mm. I want to keep evolving and growing.
Yeah.
You're almost chasing that next version of yourself versus being present with yourself, but also recognizing there's so much growth to go.
Yeah.
How important is that and how do you deal with that element of self-love?
Yeah. It's so interesting because when I look at it, kind of whether that's with my clients, I've kind of created this kind of three-part stage because I think a lot of the time when we think of self-love, we think of some kind of woo-woo Californian sitting on the beach with their crystals and aligning their chakras. And, you know, whilst of course for some people that is a massive element on it, actually it's accessible to professionals in London with, you know, busy kind of city life, or it's accessible to anyone wherever they are. And so I've kind of adopted this three-part kind of framework to look at it. And the first part is really just about self-awareness. I think it's very easy to kind of live in denial and, you know, think, I don't want to look at the things within myself that I carry shame for or anger about. Those are emotions which we often tend to think have no place in our life. They're not useful. We'll just, you know, throw them away. But I think the very first stage of that is awareness of them and kind of saying, okay, I experienced this. I feel this. This is how it manifests itself in my life. And then the second bit is getting to a place of self-acceptance with them and saying, okay, I might not like these things, but they are a part of me. All of my experiences have made me who I am, and I have to accept that.
Yeah.
And I think that's when the bit that I find really interesting is we have two choices there. The first bit is, again, going almost to that self-denial and kind of, I don't want to face this, or we can get curious. And I think that's when the avenue to being able to love and kind of bring in self-love into the conversation, because once you have kind of a canvas of these are all the good things, these are all the bad things that we carry, you're able to look at them, you're able to accept them, and then you're able to get to a place to say, these are all a part of me, they make up exactly who I am. And yes, they have the potential to change, but actually they're parts of me and they deserve loving. There's a reason why, you know, some of the ways that I act out shame or self-sabotage, they're there to protect me.
Yeah.
And actually they're deserving of love as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of a really interesting, it's really easy and accessible kind of three-part framework that people can adopt and just to get a bit curious about these things.
Yeah.
Because I think self-love can seem quite far away, abstract, a bit conceptualized. And this is really just a way to make it more accessible, make it easy for people to understand without thinking we need to get some crystals.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's weird, cause it's not weird, but you know, you see on Instagram all the time, it's like elements of that and it's very heightened.
Mm.
But when I look at self-love, I look at, you know, taking care of myself,
Yeah. You
know, making sure that I listen to good music or little things like dancing or just things that just keep my momentum up. And also, you know, recognizing when I'm kind of feeling a bit down. Okay, I'm going to sit on this feeling for a little bit. I'm not going to completely, like, get stuck in. Yeah. But I had to feel those emotions as well. So as a man, it's always kind of weird to touch in that area because, like, okay, being vulnerable and all that stuff, it's like, I'm ashamed of. But understanding that and then saying, okay, how do I move forward? It's a different story.
Yeah. I think that's a whole other dynamic is I meet so many women who are really happy to have these conversations. They're very easy, you know, very able to get vulnerable. And it is something I think about how hard it must be to be a man and have all of these expectations of we can't talk about our feelings, we can't talk about our failures, you just have to have this ego. And I wonder, I suppose, to you, when you think about self-love, does it feel accessible or does it feel quite far away for you?
I think it might be different from a male's perspective. I mean, I'm not speaking for every man there, but in terms of how we...
You're the only man in the
world. I'm the only man in the world. I speak for everyone here. But, I mean, for me at least, that self-love is more about how to bear myself. It's more self-improvement.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily I'm not happy with who I am, but it's like everything that makes me happy today is building future me.
I love that.
So, example, for us men, we like going to the gym, maybe working out. That releases endorphins, right?
Yeah.
So things like that. Spending time with your friends, maybe just having a guys chat, is you know, completely different to how you talk in the work office.
Yeah.
Or, you know, your family and stuff. Or music as well. That helps a lot.
Yeah.
Or just finding a passion that you really are into. Because sometimes men in general, we like to be alone and figure things out versus having to socialize and actually talk about things.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I don't know if you've read this book called Women Are From Venus, Men Are From Mars, or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a really famous psychology book, but it really uses the very basic kind of principles of women love to talk about their problems, whereas men kind of need to go and retreat into a cave, digest, think about, don't often ask for help. So it's interesting that you mentioned that and, you know, from your own experience, do you think that's true?
Yeah, I mean, it's true, but it's not, I realise there's a balance to everything. So whilst that's true for me to kind of retreat and figure things out and do things that internally make me happy, I know that I can't really fix the problem by myself.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, okay, I have a soundboard of people, trusted friends, family.
Yeah.
I can reach out to them. But again, it's all about moving forwards. It's not about kind of being like, okay, I want to be emotional about it and sit on it. Because there's nothing that can be done afterwards.
Yeah.
And I don't think men get enough sympathy to sort of be like, okay, you're in this spot, sit there and do nothing about it.
Yeah.
So it's always like, you guys have to do something. You got to be active.
And, yeah, it's yeah. quite sort of action orientated. Mm. The only thing I would kind of challenge, or maybe kind of, you know, for you to ponder is, within that, you said, you know, there's no time to kind of just sit and feel down. But actually, I wonder if you were to allow that space and just think, yeah, just get a bit curious with it. Why am I feeling this? What am I actually feeling within my body?
Yeah.
And, you know, I love a little bit of journaling, you know.
That, I've been doing that. That's really helpful as well. Yeah. Especially during the lockdown. I think that was the first time I actually had time to actually sit down and really think about stuff. You're
like, oh, I'm faced with everything. I can't run away.
Exactly. And it's interesting because I guess, you know, people say, you know, if you're alone, that's probably the loudest place to be because all your thoughts are there, right?
Yeah.
So trying to figure all of that and seeing how you are from a different perspective is very interesting. Not to say that it could be serious or not serious, but I think when you are alone, you can have a lot of things come in and you have to understand, okay, there's a version of you. That's not a version of you. That's someone's voice speaking in your voice.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting dynamic, really.
Yeah. It's really powerful. I think, you know, even if, you know, think about this in the workplace, you know, lots of people kind of, when they're driving forward in their careers, they have this voice which says, you know, I'm not going to go for that promotion, or, you know, in a relationship, they say, oh, I'm not going to tell them how I feel. I'm going to wait for them to tell me. Mm. All of these little voices. And it's something which kind of, when we look at the inner critic, just, you know, simply asking, who is that voice?
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time people say, oh, that's something which, you know, someone in my workplace, I imagine it's their voice. Or, oh, I imagine actually maybe it's my mum that says that.
Mm.
It's not very often that it's actually, I've created this kind of narrative all by myself. A lot of the time it's from external influences.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting to discern the way that we see ourselves and kind of getting back to the root of who we truly are versus all of this outside information which says, you should be this, you should do that.
Mm.
And, you know, sometimes I think, you know, there's amazing value in people calling out some of the amazing stuff about us.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think we can too heavily focus on the criticism or the negative things that people have said to us, which aren't at the core of who we are. Mm. And I think it's key that we kind of take the criticism with a pinch of salt sometimes. Mm. And yeah, we look inwards and we reflect inwards of who am I? What is the core of who I am? And if that criticism doesn't align with who you truly feel you are, yeah, let's chuck it out the window.
Exactly. And the funny thing is, I mean, I always give myself the breath of growing, like understanding, like, okay, I'm not a finished product. I'm a work in progress all the time. So it's okay. It's okay not to have things figured out. And I think recently for me, people have come up to me and said, oh, you have things figured out. Mm. And I'm like, I'm winging it just like you. I just probably have better luck. And I've taken different avenues, but I think when you're an adult, you kind of figure out that everyone is just figuring it out.
Yeah. And it's, there's this idea, and I don't know whether it's, I don't actually know how old you are, but there's this idea as we're kind of approaching 30.
31. That, so it's okay.
There you go. that, you know, by 30, I should have bought my first flat. Mm. I should have met the person I'm going to marry. Maybe I should be married. I'm thinking about children. It's always the kind of, what's the next step? What should I be doing? And very rarely do we want those shoulds.
It's interesting you say that, yeah.
Oh, like, no, what are you thinking?
Well, I think I believe in what you're saying, because these milestones that you talk about don't necessarily align to the person you are. That's a template that exists. And so many times in society, we say, okay, we have to follow this. Even the career path.
Yeah.
That's kind of the thing where we go into the education system and then come out 21, 22, and you just have to figure out what's the next step based on the degree you took, based on the A-level you took, based on your GCSE results.
It is mental, and it's something I think about a lot is, you know, that kind of transition, you know, if someone goes to university or whatever they do and they're kind of 18 leaving school, is 1 week, you know, they got told, you have to put your hand up and ask to go to the loo.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks later, it's like, well, off you go into the world. The world is your oyster. You've got to make every single decision for yourself.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, how do we balance? We don't know how to be responsible for ourselves. We don't get taught, you know, what is self-responsibility? Mm-hmm. Because we think of it almost as a burden of, okay, here you go, make all your life choices.
Yeah.
Rather than actually, it's such a gift. It's such a beautiful thing to be like, actually, I can take responsibility for my life. I don't have to do the shoulds. I don't have to follow the template or the blueprint. I think it's really powerful that we can take responsibility for ourselves. And I think that freaks people out because it's easier for other people to tell us what to do sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it is almost, yeah, the easy option of, okay, I feel like I should do this, or this is where I should go, versus I can create whatever I want. And because there's infinite possibilities, and I really do believe infinite possibilities, people are like, oh, that's scary. Let's just do the shoulds.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm going to get flat and I'm going to get married and get my mortgage. Because they are frightened of whatever is possible.
Yeah. And I feel like we're going to scare some people. But
yeah, nothing, go on.
No, let's do it. The name of the podcast is Culture Shock Podcast.
It's a shock.
Shock the system. Okay, here's the situation. If you want to live through that template, 100%, go for it. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I was in a similar position where I was like, okay, this, and this.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's fine. What happens is life happens. Sometimes you have that plan and then things don't work out. And then you're left with the decision of,
yeah,
are you going to chase after that template? Or are you really going to find what's in you and find your purpose, your calling, and find what makes you whole?
Yeah.
And that's really what it is. And I think in life, there's so many opportunities where you are given that decision and most people don't take it. And they take the safe route.
True.
And then later in life, they go, oh, I have a midlife crisis because I didn't ask that question to myself when I had the time.
Yeah. And I think that, and I suppose I almost feel like, you know, piping in for coaching, being like, that is really where coaching can come in.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the time my clients come to me and they say, I have something within me that I just don't know what it is.
Mm.
And they can't name it, they can't describe it, but it's just this yearning for there has got to be more to life than this.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people, that's kind of, you know, something spiritual, maybe they're, you know, they want to find God. For other people, it's a career and finding a passion or impact driven kind of career path. For some people, that maybe I do want to have a family, or maybe I do want a romantic partner. And for some people, or what I feel like for the majority of people, it all starts with this dramatic looking inward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think out of all of that, that's the scariest thing.
Yeah.
Because, as you said, we're programmed to believe that life should look like X, Y, and Z. And it's scary. But it's also our own responsibility. And I'm all for the tough love. So I love that you wanted to shock people. But I think people need to know it is your responsibility. And if you're feeling stuck, you can stay stuck for the next few months, for the next few years, and you won't have anyone to blame but yourself.
Yeah.
Or when you're at that crossroads, you can say, actually, I'm going to practice radical self-responsibility and also radical self-love and say, I was made for more than this life I've created.
Mm-hmm.
And do something about it. Get curious, you know, read some self-help books or, you know, speak to a coach or speak to your friends. Get curious about life and just see where that goes. Because in the end, you know, what have you got to lose? You've either going to have your average life of it's fine, it's okay, everything's fine, or you're going to go on the other route, which could be filled with the hell yeses, but also the hell nos. But I feel like living in the kind of the bright colours is far better than living in that grey zone where nothing grows, it's just a bit, grey and boring and it's fine. But I really think life is meant to be more than just fine.
Mm-hmm.
We were created to do something beautiful and incredible. And I think, it's within all of us to discover that.
Yeah, 100%. Now we're running out of time. I wanted to ask one big question.
Yes, go on.
Big question. Relationships.
Woo,
important. Yeah. I think they are important. I think in today's climate, there are certain leverages in terms of what that relationship can offer another person.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about finding your better half and then using that, not using that person, but that person benefiting from you know, your growth and vice versa. How important is that? And how important is values, compatibility, and
I mean, you've opened up a can of worms.
I know.
We could do a whole other podcast.
We should.
Maybe we should. I think it comes back to that who you surround yourself with. And I, this might be quite controversial, but I think if you look for a partner to be, you know, the one kind of shining bright relationship in your life, I think that personally is the wrong avenue to go down. I feel like they should be one of those five people who are the closest to you, because you are so many wonderful things in so many different ways. And by putting everything onto finding this one person, you're almost, you know, you're almost putting everything onto one person, and it's a hell of a lot of pressure on them.
Yeah.
But also it's so much pressure to put on yourself that I've got to find someone and I've got to, you know, make this work, and they've, you know, our visions have got to align and our goals have got to align, and we've got to do everything together in life. And I think it's a lot of pressure, whereas actually, you know, I love Sex and the City. And basically there's this one quote where they're talking about, why can't your girlfriends be your soulmates? And I think that's the same, you know, in any kind of friendship, relationship, family, there are people in our lives who will have an incredible impact on us. And I think by just focusing all of that attention on one person, I think, yeah, the other people perhaps lose a little bit of impact. And I will leave that there, because I feel like there's going to be we should do another episode.
We will.
Solely on romantic relationships.
I was thinking about doing a part two.
Yes.
So we will do a part two.
Yes.
We're going to conclude with this episode, self-love.
Yeah.
Closing statements. What do you have?
Oh, I think I would just, to anyone who's listening, I would just challenge you really to almost think about what is it that you are responsible for in your own life. And, you know, there are some things which aren't worth worrying about, thinking about, but the things that you are responsible for, you know, the trajectory of your life, you deserve more than fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really the key thing out of all of this.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to say something a little bit controversial here, but I think it's in anyone's birthright to go for what they really want in life. I mean, this is a gift in its own right.
Yeah.
And the more opportunities that come your way that really feeds your desire. Mm. I mean, desire is a dirty word sometimes, because anything can be desirable and not really good for you. But at least go for it, because you only live once. You live every day, you die once. But
I love that. I heard that before.
Yeah, I saw it somewhere on Instagram. Oh, so I'm good. But anyways, yeah, you live every day, so you got to seize the moment. So it's very important to take those opportunities, but also take time for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, we'll do a part two sometime in the future, and I'll make it a bit of a longer episode.
Yeah.
But thank you guys for listening, and take care. Hey, podcast listeners, thanks for listening, and thanks for my special guest, and thanks for clicking the play button. But I need you to do four things for me. I want you to like, comment, subscribe, and share this content. It will help tremendously with the growth of this podcast, and I'm producing more content than ever, so I want you guys to be the first to know, and I want others to know as well. So do those four things for me and help this podcast grow to a bigger platform. Thanks for listening.